Thank you, Jesus, that we get to be in your word one more time. Help us to honor you with appropriate interpretation of your word, with thoughts that will honor you and bless you and build your kingdom. Thank you, God, for all you've done and all that you continue to do in our lives. Amen. Ephesians 6:12. And I've titled the sermon, Our Struggle. How many of you realize that we're in a struggle?
Okay.
If you weren't sure of it before, maybe you're a little bit more sure of it after this week. It's something that I think we get confused about our struggle sometimes. And this is where today Paul's going to talk to us about our struggle not being against humans, against flesh and blood. And that's about as far as I'm going to get, because too often I think, as much as we want to realize, okay, there's a spiritual world and there's battles going on and all this, we still end up looking at humans and thinking they're the problem. If we could only stop them from doing what they're doing, then life would be better. And I think our struggle ends up being internal as much as anything else. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I'm just going to do a quick abbreviated review of this past week. There's so many other things that I could have added that I didn't put in there. Airline went down yesterday. There's lots and lots of things that have taken place. It's been a crazy, weird week. First one, we think about struggles, okay? Some people get really, really tied into the local sports, whatever team they're supporting and loving. And so last Sunday after church, Seahawks won a game. But that game didn't matter. It didn't change anything in the way that the playoffs were going to work out. They got the same position whether they had won or lost. They would have been in the same position, and so they ended up playing again yesterday, and they lost the game that counted. So if you're really into sports, that could be a struggle for some people. I know that there's people in the greater Puget Sound region that if you bring up the Steelers and the Super Bowl and a certain call that an official made, you can get them like raising their blood pressure and they start to go. How many years ago was that? And it's still something that some people are holding on to. Okay, so this struggle thing, you know, that official, if he just hadn't made that bad call, he would have won against it. Okay, people can go on and on about that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. If that's your issue that's going to get you upset, search your heart. Get that set to where you need to be. Another thing happened Tuesday. There was an election in Georgia. Maybe you've heard about it. It probably would have been big news this week if other things hadn't happened. Four flawed individuals competed for two Senate seats. Two flawed individuals lost and two flawed individuals won. I could have put that in there no matter how the results were. We need to stop thinking that somehow politicians are going to be our savior, that they're going to fix everything, that if we get the right people in and the wrong people out, that somehow our lives are going to be better. Because they won't. One of the most fiscally conservative presidents we've ever had, according to people that I talk to, is Ronald Reagan. And if you look at what happened to the deficit, the debt, in his presidency, and then try to say he was fiscally conservative, I don't know how those two go together. It's hard for me to understand it. Now, there's not a simple metric that we can look at and say this is good and this is bad when we're talking about politics. When you're talking about your own personal family, like, there's times where you have to spend money on stuff you don't want to spend money on. How many of you have ever had a car breakdown or an appliance or something and it needs dealt with? And there's ways to deal with it, and we don't always pick the right way. We pick the way that we think is best at that time given all the circumstances we have. And so when we start looking at what nations and states and towns and whatever, you know, even the mayor can, you know, Henry can get a lot of flack if people don't like what he's doing. We can find ways to be a little bit more gracious. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not the people making these decisions that are creating the problems. Oftentimes it's the heart of the individuals that are fighting against it, or the ones that are pushing for it for the wrong reasons. But it's, there's other stuff going on under the surface. When we're talking about spiritual warfare, when we're talking about armor of God battles, it's like, it's not about flesh and blood. It's not about the people. So these individuals in Georgia, pray for them. Pray for the ones that lost. Pray for the ones that won. Pray for all of those that were involved in both campaigns, that there can be some way that they can move forward in a godly fashion and find ways to work together and build community. Another thing that happened, thousands of people migrated to the nation's capital and stormed the Capitol building. We had a friend that was in Washington, D.C. this week during all of this. What he was doing during that whole time was there was a large tent set up on the Capitol Mall, and there was a whole bunch of people there. They were singing praises to God and praying. And he was there the whole time. So if you hear that somebody was in Washington, D.C., I'm understanding that there's two Seattle police officers, because they were seen at the rally. There was a picture of them at the rally. They're on administrative leave. People are losing their jobs because they were in Washington, D.C., and you can prove that by their phones or whatever else, or their social media, and it's like, I mean, people are losing their jobs because of their point of view, whatever it was. Now, if people committed crimes, fine, you know. We're all responsible for our own actions. If you commit a crime, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. I mean, Greta, right? Even his parrot knew that. But yeah, it was crazy what we saw, and I don't think we saw everything. I think there's an awful lot more going on. I mean, when you've got five people died, one from a heart attack, I think one from a stroke, if I understood correctly, there was one that got trampled under when she was knocked to the ground, and people falling on top of her and then walking over the people that had fallen on top of her. It was a mess. One shot by the hands of the police, and the other one was a police officer that got crushed against a wall and when he got back to the office and collapsed and didn't make it through the day.
And another police officer that got beaten in the head with a fire extinguisher.
Okay, yeah. There were over 60 officers that were injured that day.
No, he died.
He died, so there's two officers that died now, or just one? It could have been the same one that was crushed against the wall that ended up getting hit with
the one that was crushed against the wall didn't die.
Wow. Okay.
The one that died was beating the head with a fire extinguisher.
Yeah, and I've tried to follow it, but there's so much information to filter through. Yeah. I can't imagine what the FBI is going through right now with the volume of information they have to look at and trying to determine, okay, who's guilty and who's not. And you know, I understand all those things have to be investigated and taken care of. If the fire extinguisher one, that sounds like that's pretty straightforward if they can find the swinger of the fire extinguisher. You know, it was a mess. And then thousands more died this week from COVID-19. Across our nation and across the world. I think, to me, one of the more grievous things I saw was, after all of this had taken place, the reactions by humans. The blame game entered a new frenzied state. It's not like we hadn't had enough blaming going on both sides already. It's going to a new peak, where a whole bunch of flawed individuals are accusing other flawed individuals of doing bad stuff. If everybody that's flawed had to be removed from their jobs or punished in some way, that's all of us. That's every one of us. And you know, some of these atrocities that took place, real and imagined, it's like, yeah, there's some real things that were really bad, and they probably need to be dealt with. Understand. The imagined ones, it's like, okay, how many people are going to get thrown under the bus for the wrong reasons? And how do we know somebody's heart if they voted a certain way? I mean, I'm seeing that there's indications that people want to lynch individuals for voting one way or the other way. Both sides are guilty of this. Individuals, the both sides have accused the other side of being Nazis this week. The rhetoric is, we're running out of places to go. We're past the superlative. It's kind of out of control. There's good news, though. Tens of thousands of new babies were born in America this week. It's like, you know what? There's still a lot of positive stuff going on. There were a whole lot of people that went to the Capitol Mall and didn't storm the castle. There's a whole lot of people in Congress that I would disagree with vehemently on almost every issue that still are doing their very best. And then we can pray that God will work with them and through them. That's just the abbreviated review. Anybody have something they want to add? Your struggle is not against flesh and blood. I think one of the temptations is when we see all this stuff, your blood can start curdling and boiling. I was tempted myself to pick out a few pictures and flash them up on the screen and watch your faces and see which ones got you burning. I could put up a picture of an angry Nancy Pelosi. I could put up a picture of an angry President Trump. I could put up a picture of Mitch McConnell. There's Chuck Schumer. We can pick the top leaders. Then there's others that you may or may not think are really leaders, you know, AOC, and there are all the others. It's like, okay, there's people that we can just mention their name and it curdles your blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. If you find yourself getting frustrated, angry, worked up over somebody else's reaction, seek the Lord. Search your own heart. Because before we start pointing fingers at everybody else, we've got to recognize that there's a whole lot in our own hearts that needs worked on and fixed. I'm wearing the Grinch tie today. You know that after Christmas, he was considered a pretty nice guy. Kind of worked through some of his problems with the help of a little girl, right? And why was the Grinch the way he was? Well, he felt ostracized and put out and ignored and not loved. And you know what? Romans tells us, Romans 12:21, overcome evil with good. There's a lot of evil in the world. I think we can agree on that. But overcoming evil with good, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. There's all this stuff that we go over in the next week or 2 weeks or whatever. But it's like, we can't let our minds start thinking, these people are so bad, if we could just stop them. Now, I brought up a lot of people that are kind of off in the distance, but what about in your family? What about close friends? What about Facebook friends that you're feeling like you want to unfriend? You know, we're all flawed. And if we start thinking that we've got all the answers and we're right and they're wrong, let me say one thing. They are probably wrong. But that doesn't make you right. It's possible that everybody's wrong. It's possible that there's no simple human solution to these problems. Because the enemy, we talked about last week about the schemes of the devil, the wiles of the devil. One of his schemes is, it's like, okay, I'm going to get you angry. You ever watch the news where they're trying to tell you, you need to be angry? They actually use that kind of language? This goes back a ways. What about, you know, remember the Alamo? We're never going to forget 9/11. You have to stay angry. It's important. And if they can't keep you angry, they can't keep your attention on the next thing they want to sell you. Because if you're not watching their show and the commercial comes on, there's not a big enough audience to collect enough money. It's a profit base. So we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. That's just, it's kind of a simple message. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Putting that in context of Ephesians 6:10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Where's our strength going to come from? It's not from me. It's in the Lord, in His mighty power. In that, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So, looking at the top here, for because, for our struggle, and even back to the previous verse, so that, you're putting on the armor of God, so that, because, for your struggle. It's like there is a struggle. And you need to be prepared for that struggle. If you go into the game unprepared, you lose. Seahawks yesterday. It's like you can't think that your preparation and your strength is better than your opponent's strength when you start to recognize who your opponent is. But we have this struggle. Our. Now here's an important word that might be easy to miss. This is something we do in community together as Christians. It's not Larry's struggle and John's struggle and my struggle. It's our struggle. It's all of us together. We're in this together. I'm going to tell you some good news. And speaking with some people in the community this week, I've heard some positive statements about Skycomish Community Church. Somebody said, you know, that's a really nice group of people over there. In fact, they followed that up with, it wasn't always that way. So your witness, your lives being in the community are starting to shine to the point where they're being seen. And that's what's going to draw people to Christ. Because they're going to know we're Christians by our love. And if we can love each other good enough that people see that, and then that we're also inclusive enough to bring them in. It's like, you know, come on in. There's always room for one more. Lots of flawed people can come through that door and join the rest of the flawed people in this building or in this congregation when we're not in this building, because the church doesn't stay here. It goes all over. Our struggle. It's not my struggle. It's not your struggle. It's our struggle. And the whole concept of struggle, again, it's like we need to realize there's a battle. There's something going on. I think King James Version used wrestling. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This concept of somebody's trying to pin you down. Somebody's trying to bring you down. And we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. This concept of struggle or striving. Luke 13:24, make every effort, strive, struggle, to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Okay. Jesus was being asked, how do we get into the kingdom? He's like, you know, there's only one way. It's through Jesus. And so struggle, strive to do it the right way. Strive to get there in His power, not in your power. And then this whole concept, we're not struggling against flesh and blood. Well, what's flesh and blood? There's a lot of talk about flesh in Scripture, and I think oftentimes when it's using flesh in Scripture, it's saying that your old self, the way that you used to think, the part that we're supposed to put off, our old self, we're supposed to put off the flesh, those bad thoughts, those patterns in the world that we succumb to. Putting that off, but this isn't really what this phrase is about here. Flesh and blood, it's actually just talking about humans, people. It may include some of that, but for the most part, when it throws in that blood part, it's kind of saying, yeah, it's just like there's blood flowing through you, you have life, you're human, you're frail. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, it's not against humans. And it's going to go on to tell us that it's something a whole lot bigger than that. If we were just fighting with humans, we'd have a human fight. We might have a fair chance. But you don't have a fair chance if you're going against an opponent that's way more powerful than you are. The song that we sang. Our fight our struggle, our battle, our wrestling, it's not against something that we can beat. It's not against something that's our equal. And that's why we need to put the full armor of God on. That's why we need to be strong in the Lord and in His power. That's why it's not about us. And then again, it's our struggle, so we don't want to try to do this alone. Absolutely not. Again, back in Matthew 16, Jesus is asking the disciples, he's saying, who do men say that I am? Who do people say I am? And Peter finally, and a lot of people say, well, they say you're John, or you're this, or you're that, whatever. Well, who do you say I am? And Peter says, well, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus replies to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. You know this truth because Holy God has taught you this truth. And that's where your strength is going to come from. That's where Peter's good answers come from. This is the same Peter that, another place, he says, get behind me, Satan. Peter was kind of all over the map, wasn't he? But when he's following the leading of the Father, he's listening to the Spirit, he gets praised by Jesus when he's just thinking about the needs of humans, human concerns and not God's concerns, is kind of rebuked. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And I hope that's a small enough piece that I can remember it through the week, through the month, through my years. Because I'll be honest with you, there's sometimes when I'm watching the news or something, or I'm having a little disagreement with my beautiful wife, that I think my struggle might be against flesh and blood. In fact, even when I'm arguing with myself and losing, I start thinking my struggle might be with flesh and blood. We can come up with so many things in our human experience where we're in pain or we're having troubles or problems, and we can blame whatever. But we have to understand that if you want to succumb to anger, if you want to let that get you upset, Scripture tells us that you're giving the devil a foothold. So if the devil gets a foothold, what are the chances of you going and doing something stupid? They start increasing exponentially, don't they? I really don't think most of the people that went to Washington, D.C. this week had any intention of creating the mayhem and the chaos that took place. Even the ones that were doing it. There may have been a few that intentionally thought this would be a great idea, this would be fine. But I think in their head they were just so frustrated and so angry that they didn't know where to put that or how to channel it. And now I'm concerned because I'm seeing people in Congress that are so angry they don't know how to channel it, so they're going to do something that may be bad for the country. And, you know, like my parents always told me, two wrongs don't make a right. How is this nation going to heal if all we can do is say, okay, that was terrible, let me point some fingers and I'm going to find a way to punish you. And if you have a way to communicate with other people, I'm going to take that communication tool away from you. So we'll block you from Twitter, we'll block you from Facebook. Oh, you found another platform? Guess what? We're powerful enough that we can stop that too. You can read about that if you want to just Google the news a little bit. There was a platform of social media that apparently a lot of people were putting bad things on there. Like, they don't put anything bad on the other social media. But it was conservative people putting bad things on this one. So it got taken off of the Android app. It got taken off of Google app. It got taken off of Apple app. And then that didn't stop them because they still could run their website and do everything else, so people were still signing up for them because they want privacy and their ability to talk with one another. They don't like Big Brother looking over them all the time. And so Amazon is the one that's been supplying their cloud services and decided to shut them off tonight at 10:59 p.m. And if they can't find another cloud service that's big enough and willing to serve them, they're either going to have to build their own service, which is a possibility. People do do that. You know, that used to be the system. They didn't have the cloud before. Everybody had their own big bank of computers somewhere in a physical location. That's just giving people more angry. It's like whatever we seem to think that we've got a solution. It's like if we can only stop these people from disagreeing with us, but we can't do that. If we can stop their disagreement from being heard, but that won't help either. And so we need to find a way to stop the hate, to stop the anger, to stop the bitterness. We've got to overcome evil with good. The best tool we have to stop bad things is to love people. The Grinch. He found a way to change. And we all have the ability to be that little girl and go to somebody that's angry, and instead of trying to stir their anger up by saying all the things we know are going to get them even more upset, tell them how wrong they are, and they are. They're all totally wrong, okay? We know that, because I know what they could say the same thing about me. And so, in order to demonstrate love, we also have to have forgiveness and humility and some of these other Holy Spirit good things. We can't change other people's lives if we're not willing to recognize that we're part of the problem. That's the old, what was that, cartoonist Kelly that wrote Pogo? We have met the enemy, and he is us. And you could say that about all kinds of things, whether we're talking about pollution or politics or whatever. It's like, how are we contributing to the problem? Anger. Oh, that makes me so mad. And then we want to tell somebody, because you don't want to be mad alone. You sure would like other people to enjoy your madness with you. And then it just cycles and cycles and cycles. Overcome evil with good. If we can let God change our hearts and just demonstrate love to people even when they're not lovable, knowing that we're not always lovable either. Enough said. Thank you, Jesus, that you are good and we're not. Help us to walk in your strength and your mighty power. And I pray that this year, 2021, will be a year where our hearts are changed, our lives are changed to the point where they're recognized by the people around us that we love each other, we love you, and we love them. And that people will be drawn to you and want to join your family. Amen.